The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build a tower and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can be my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
One of my mother's favorite sayings to me as a child came in the form of a question: "What in the world possessed you to do such a thing? Honestly, Paul, what possesses you?" In this morning's Old Testament text, we catch up with the Israelites at a pivotal moment. They have come to a crossroad. Moses, their reluctant but able leader, has brought them out of slavery in Egypt, schooled them in the wilderness, and now stands with them on the edge of the promised land that lies just across the Jordan. He points out to them all that lies ahead and is gut-wrenchingly honest about both the dangers and opportunities that lie within sight. Life and prosperity, death and adversity, living by the laws of God, turning away to the deities of Canaan, blessings, curses, hearts turned toward the commandments, decrees, and ordinances of God, or hearts turned aside and led astray. Another way of saying all these things is, in the land that you are about to possess, what will possess you? What are you going to do? How are you going to live? Who are you going to be? What possesses you? In today's harshly worded gospel text, a similar theme is struck. I have to say, I just hate it when Jesus says hate. Every preacher does, because it paints us into a corner. It perpetuates this binary either or sort of construct that Lutheran Christians tend to be allergic to. Oh, we love our law and gospel, our sin and forgiveness, our life and death talk just fine. But when it comes right down to it, we always lean into grace, which seems to soften texts like today's hate speech in the gospel. Our go-to tends to mitigate passages like this one to say something more like, "Well, he doesn't really mean hate," or he doesn't mean hate like we mean hate. Or, sure, Jesus wants your first allegiance, but if you can't give that, then not to worry. Do the best you can. Remember, we're Lutherans. We live by grace. Well, perhaps we inflated, grace-inflated tower builders should, like wise kings, first sit down and count the cost, the real cost of following a radical like Jesus. A radical who is going to ask us every single day of our lives, what possesses you? A radical who says, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. You get the boat, you need the trailer. You get the boat and the trailer, you need the SUV beefy enough to pull it. You get the boat and the trailer and the SUV, and then you need the boat slip at the dock. You get the boat and the trailer and the SUV and the boat slip at the dock, and sooner or later you need an all-weather cover for when the rainy season sets in. The boat, the trailer, the SUV, the slip at the dock, the all-weather cover. Do you have insurance for all of this? So, therefore, Jesus says, none of you can be my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. And he's not saying it to be mean. He's not saying it because he wants to make us miserable. He's saying it because he knows that sooner or later, our possessions will possess us. He's saying it because he wants to set us free. It's what Moses was trying to communicate to the people he loved before they went into the promised land. It's what Jesus is asking us to contemplate and count the cost of before we set off any further into things that we won't be able to finish. It's a question as old as the childhood of Paul E. Hoffman, asked by a wise, if not mystified, mother, what possesses you? What is really yours? And what is not? And what's your relationship to all this stuff? The boat, the trailer, the SUV, the slip at the dock, the all-weather cover, and really, is there an insurance policy big enough to keep you covered? Because sooner or later, our possessions will possess us. Somebody wrote a letter about that. It wasn't just any somebody, it was Paul. Not me, the other Paul. It was near the end of his life, and he wrote it to his old buddy Philemon. The topic of the letter was Philemon's runaway slave, Onesimus. And it's probably one of the most significant 400 words about possessions in the entire Bible. Perhaps you've wondered why a piece of personal correspondence like this would end up in the New Testament. But it's simply because it sums up our relationship to possessions, even when those possessions are people. Paul is laying before Philemon the wisdom that we really possess nothing. Least of all, other people. Be careful, he says, because sooner or later you will be possessed by your possessions. And then, having reached for the best of all possible worlds, you will end up with no world at all. There's a better way to live. You get the boat, you need the trailer. You get the boat and the trailer, you need the vehicle beefy enough to pull it. You know how that goes. Moses says to the people, you cross the river, you get the land. It is yours to possess. Interesting language, isn't it? It is yours to possess. But what will possess you once you get there? Life and prosperity, or death and adversity? And of us, Jesus asks the same, even if he does it in words we wish were not so harsh. And why are they so harsh? At least one possibility is that as Luke was writing them down to the first Christians, they were literally having a sword held at their throats, sometimes by their own family members. Whatever the case when Luke was writing, Jesus asks us today, what possesses you? At the end of the day, whether we buy the boat or not, whether we count the cost or not, whether we love Jesus more than family or not, whether we are lured by pagan gods of the new and promised land or not, the question will ultimately come down to this: by whom are you possessed? Who possesses you? And the answer to that for the baptized community of faith, of course, is that we are possessed by Christ Jesus. We were bought with a price. We were claimed once and for all by the one who, on the cross, the world's most infamous instrument of death, chose life. Not for himself, but for us. And that life giver, Jesus, would just hate to see us squander away a life lived in the chokehold of our possessions. What Christ hopes for us instead is a life of freedom, possessed by nothing else but his unfathomable love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.